I'll read 24 and then we'll do a call and response to 25. Okay? Ramyakecha Bhagavata Priyatamam Matsyam Avatara Rupam Tadvarsha Purushasya Mano Prak Pradarshitam Sa Iranim Api Mahata Bhakti Yoginarad Dayatidam Chudaharati. Translation. Sukadev Goswami continued in Ramyakavarsha, where Vaivasvata Manu rules, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Matsya at the end of the last era, the Chakshush Manvantara. Vaivasvata Manu now worships Lord Matsya in pure devotional service and chants the following mantra. This is kind of a non-standard meter. Om namo bhagavate mukhyottamaya namasattvaya pranayaujase sahasabbalaya mahamatsyaya nama iti. So please repeat. Om namo bhagavate mukhyottamaya namasattvaya pranayaujase sahase balaya mahamatsyaya nama iti. Om namo bhagavate mukhyottamaya namasattvaya pranayaujase sahase balaya mahamatsyaya nama iti. Om namo bhagavate mukhyottamaya namasattvaya pranayaujase sahase balaya mahamatsyaya nama iti. Anyone else want to try? Om namo bhagavate mukhyottamaya namasattvaya pranayaujase sahase balaya mahamatsyaya nama iti. Anyone else? Om namo bhagavate mukhyottamaya namasattvaya pranayaujase sahase balaya mahamatsyaya nama iti. Vaishnavis? Om namo bhagavate mukhyottamaya namasattvaya pranayaujase sahase balaya mahamatsyaya nama iti. Word for word. Om, my Lord. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mukhyottamaya, the first incarnation to appear. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Sattvaya, unto the pure transcendence. Pranaya, the origin of life. Ojase, the source of the potency of the senses. Sahase, the origin of all mental power. Balaya, the origin of bodily strength. Mahamatsyaya, unto the gigantic fish incarnation. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Iti, thus. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is pure transcendence. He is the origin of all life, bodily strength, mental power, and sensory ability, known as Matsyavatar, the gigantic fish incarnation. He appears first among all the incarnations. Again, I offer my obeisances unto him. Please repeat. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is pure transcendence. He is the origin of all life, bodily strength, mental power, and sensory ability, known as Matsyavatar, the gigantic fish incarnation. He appears first among all the incarnations. Again, I offer my obeisances unto him. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jayadeva Goswami sings, Pralayopayodijale Tritavanasi Vedam Vihitavehitra Charitramakedam Keshavadrita Mina Sharira Jaya Jagadish Hare Jaya Jagadish Hare Jaya Jagadish Hare. Soon after the cosmic creation, the entire universe was inundated with water. At that time, Lord Krishna, Keshava, incarnated as a gigantic fish to protect the Vedas. Therefore, Manu addresses Lord Matsya as Mukhyatama, the first incarnation to appear. Fish are generally considered a mixture of the modes of ignorance and passion, but we must understand that every incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely transcendental. There's never any deterioration of the Supreme Lord's original transcendental quality. Therefore, the word sattvaya is used here, meaning pure goodness on the transcendental platform. There are many incarnations of the Supreme Lord: Varahamurti, the boar form; Kurmamurti, the tortoise form; Hayagrivamurti, the form of a horse, and so on. Yet we should never think any of them material. They are always situated on the platform of Shuddha Sattva, pure transcendence. Om Agyanat Marandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Umilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So we continue our tour of Jambudvip. And in this tour, we're encountering residents of the different islands, the Varshas. They're all engaged in worshiping some form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with beautiful prayers. Beautiful prayers. One of the prayers, was it mentioned earlier? Lakshmi is offering to an incarnation of the Lord as Kamadev. Prabhupada says that this prayer, he especially acknowledges its potency, and says that if one chants this prayer under the guidance of a spiritual master, he'll attain all spiritual perfection. And he goes on to describe the importance of chanting prayers and glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We may have no idea whatsoever of our Siddha Swarup, our eternal spiritual form in the spiritual world. And there may be many discussions on the topic. And there may be persons who are trying to allure devotees by saying, oh, I will give you your eternal siddha-swarupa and so forth. You can have this information. But what we really need is to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the vital need, necessity, and intrinsic nature of the living being. He's engaged in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by so doing, all will be revealed in due course of time. It is not necessary to try to jerry-rig the system, to find a shortcut, a cheap shortcut. In the 1960s, there were young people all around the world, not just in the Western, not just in the United States, but they were trying to find different shortcuts to awareness, higher consciousness, and their shortcuts ultimately resulted in suffering and failure, and sometimes crushing destruction of their mental faculties. Shortcuts are not required. What is required is following very strictly in the footsteps of the previous acharyas by taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, by learning the Vedic mantras from him, by pronouncing them and chanting them very carefully with great care and attention for the meaning, and being always aware of the Supreme Lord's transcendental position. Here we're being told about the Supreme Lord's appearance as a fish incarnation. In the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is asking Parikshit Maharaj about this incarnation. He's saying, how is it the Lord is appearing in this form, which by nature is full of pain? He uses this very expression, by nature it's full of pain. This form of fish. Fish is not a very exalted body. If you look on the list of various species, it's below, like Stavra, it's below the trees. It's a lower birth. It's not a very good birth. But this appearance of the Lord as Matsya is not mundane fish. It's not like some mode of ignorance, little bit of passion, body. It's pure transcendence, pure transcendence. Indeed, in the second, in Matsya, he appears twice. He appears at the beginning of creation. He saves the Vedas at the end of Swayambhuva Manvantara, at the end of a millennium, excuse me. He saves the Vedas when Lord Brahma falls asleep. The Vedas are emanating from his mouth. A demon by the name of Hayagriva comes to steal the Vedas. And then the Lord appears as this fish incarnation, and as a fish he kills Hayagriva, saves the Vedas, and presents them back to Brahma in due course of time. Then again he appears later, and that appearance is described in 8th canto, 24th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection with the penances and austerities of one Satyavrata. And in this incarnation, the ultimate size of the Lord in his body as a fish is given as 8 million miles long. Not your ordinary fish. Eight million miles long. What body of water will hold such a fish? And yet the Lord is in the... I'll tell you what body of water. The water of inundation. That will hold this body. And the Lord takes a body just suitable for performing his pastimes. It's a very charming story in 8th canto Bhagavatam. Satyavrata, he's a king of Dravidadesh. This is during the Chakshusha Manvantar. And variously in places of the Bhagavatam, it's described that it's at the end of the Chakshusha Manvantara, and in another place, actually in the 8th canto, it's mentioned that it's during the Chakshusha Manvantara, and Lord Brahma becomes a little sleepy. So what happens when Lord Brahma goes to sleep? partial inundation of the universe. So Lord Brahma gets a little sleepy. There's a partial inundation. But before this happens, Satyavrata, he's a very pious king, he's sitting at the Kritumala River, engaged in penances and austerities. It's said in Bhagavatam that he's subsisting on water alone. So he's a very advanced Rajarshi. He's a king, but he's a Rajarshi. He's engaged in tremendous austerities. So he's offering water at the Kritumala, and he has a palm full of water, and he spies in his palm a fish in the water, little fish. So he takes the water along with the fish and he throws it in the Kritumala River. And then the fish speaks to him. "My dear king, you are a protector of the innocents and of the general populace. I am put in danger by putting it in this river. There are many dangerous aquatics here who may harm me. Therefore, you should give me protection." So it's explained there that Satyavrata, he's thinking, this is a very interesting fish. And in a kind of self-satisfaction, he says, "Yes, of course, I'll give you protection." And he puts him in a water jug. And of course, immediately the fish assumes a size which is larger than water jug and says, "I can't stay here. You have to give me a proper place to stay." So then he puts him in a pond. And the fish immediately assumes a size that's growing larger than the pond and says, "No, this isn't good enough. You have to give me shelter." So he moves him from the pond to a big lake, the biggest lake he can find. Immediately the fish expands. So then he throws him in the ocean. And the fish expands again, and he's saying, "You know, it's not good that you put me in the ocean. There are sharks and various aquatics." And by this time the king has taken the hint, and he offers some beautiful prayers, acknowledging that you must be none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is it that you are doing all of these things to bewilder us? Please explain to me your mission. And he offers beautiful prayers describing the Lord's transcendental position. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of such prayers. Everywhere you turn, there are these wonderful prayers. And everywhere you turn, there are benedictions that are offered as a result of offering these prayers. So every day we can be engaged in meditating on the Lord's various transcendental forms and offering these prayers so that we can achieve Krishna consciousness, so that we can go beyond the platforms of tamogun, rajogun, and sattvagun and ultimately arrive at Shuddha Sattva or Vasudeva Sabditam. That platform is desired by the devotee. Why? So that he can become free from misery and become released from various material... No, so that he can be engaged in full devotional service. So that he can be engaged in activities that please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right now we're in the mixed modes of nature. We shall not pretend to be liberated in any way. But we are liberated by service to Guru. Guru is our means of offering service to the Personality of God. We cannot offer directly. But by the Lord's grace, He sends a bona fide spiritual master so that we have this conduit. Prabhupada says, transcendental via medium. Transcendental via medium. For service. For hearing the message of Godhead and for rendering service. Transcendental via medium. So here, Satyavrata Muni, in 8th canto of Bhagavatam, he's getting the opportunity to take, as Arjuna did, direct shelter of the Personality of Godhead as spiritual master. And he prays as such in that portion of Bhagavatam. And the Lord gives him so many instructions. But first of all, the Lord explains to him his mission. He explains to Satyavrata that in 1 week, there will be an inundation. I shall bring a boat, and you and the rishis and all of the herbs and seeds that you've collected and all kinds of living entities shall board that boat. And then Vasuki will come, and Vasuki you will use to tie the boat to the horn on my transcendental body. This is a fish with a horn. And in this way, I will tow you across the ocean of inundation. You will be under my protection. You will be supplied light by the effulgence of the bodies of the sages, he says. And I will speak to you the Vedas. And this is indeed what happens. Satyavrata Muni continues his meditation. The waters begin to rise, the waters of inundation. He collects various seeds and herbs and so forth. Living entities come, the sages and rishis come. They all board this boat that is brought by Matsya Avatar, who's described as 8 million miles long. I was relaying this pastime to my wife, and she said, "How long was Vasuki?" Such a big fish, transcendental fish. Satyavrata Muni is offering prayers to this fish, and he's saying, "Oh, lotus-eyed one, so you know what fish eye looks like." But here, this is a fish with lotus eyes. He has lotus eyes. This is a fish who speaks. This is a fish who speaks all the Vedas. He's full of knowledge. This is his mission, actually, it's described. There's a place in Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's summarily describing all of the different incarnations. And he said, this particular potency in this incarnation is that he speaks the Vedic knowledge. Another place Prabhupada describes, he says, when the Lord incarnates, he has various types of incarnations. And he says, they're like different, he says, there's a power department from which all the power is coming. And there are various kinds of light sources that power company is providing electricity to. Some of them are little light bulbs, sufficient for a room. Some are very large arrays, big sources of light. So the Lord appears in different incarnations to provide different services for his devotees, for protection, paritranaya sarunam vinashaya chudushkritam, and to annihilate the demons. And he takes forms just fitting for those particular actions. He doesn't necessarily have to display all of his opulences, but he displays them in particular accordance with the mission of the Lord in that incarnation. But the reservoir of all power is there. One should not think, oh, the Lord has appeared as a fish. He is less than the Lord appearing as Lord Tortoise or Varaha or Hayagriva. He is lesser. No. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is described in Brahma Samhita. Angani yasya sakalendriya brittimanti pasyanti panti kalayanti chirang jaganti ananda chinmaya sad ujvala vigrahasya govindamari purusham tamahang bhajami. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses all the functions of all the organs, and he eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the entire creation. Universal creation, the spiritual worlds, it's all emanating from him. He's Advaita Machutam Anadim Anantarupam. Anantarupam. All unlimited forms are coming from him. Prabhupada says in Bhagavatam, like the waves of the ocean, the incarnations are coming. Or like rivulets flowing to the sea. That's another description he gives. All of these incarnations. But they're scheduled. They're described in Bhagavatam. They display extraordinary opulences. Even when the Lord appears as Channa Avatar, Lord Chaitanya, he confidentially displays all of these opulences. In the house of Shivas Pandit, he performs his pastimes. And to each devotee, as they come forward, he displays some particular incarnation of the Lord that is dear to that devotee's heart. So the Lord has these uncommon activities and pastimes, and that is how he is to be identified. Even to this day, people want to claim to be God, or they'll perform some magic feat and while perform these wiles and this mischief to allure people to thinking that they are some manifestation of the divinity. But these are all just cheap magic tricks. The real magician is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is that? He is so, there's a nice description. Let me read it. First Canto Bhagavatam. He's such an extraordinary magician that he can appear and perform his pastimes and bewilder, leave the minds of the atheistic and demoniac bewildered, think, oh, this is just some magic feat. In the court of Dhritarashtra, when Lord Krishna went to try at a last-ditch effort to prevent the battle of Kurukshetra, Duryodhana tried to have Krishna arrested. And Krishna manifested a partial manifestation of his universal form, and Duryodhana dismissed it as some magic trick. This is the plight of the demoniac. Even they see some manifestation of the Lord's potencies. Even the personality of Godhead comes before them. In the churning of the milk ocean, the demons are so determined to get at the nectar. The Lord is appearing as Ajita on top of Mandara Mountain. He's appearing as Lord Tortoise. It's said that they're dragging Mandara Mountain to the ocean of milk to place that mountain in the ocean of milk for churning. Demons and demigods die from the exertion. The Lord comes on the back of Garuda. He revives the demigods and demons who have lost their lives. He takes them all and puts them on the back of Garuda along with Mandara Mountain, and then he takes them the rest of the way to the ocean of milk, and still the demons do not accept. Oh, he's some powerful personality. Extraordinary, maybe. We don't really like him very much. But we'll cooperate because we want to get the nectar of immortality. It's a total lack of submission. You do not want to submit. The materialistic mentality is, I will not submit. I will not submit. I will not submit to God. I will not bow down to God. I will not bow down to God's representative. I will not acknowledge any power greater than me. Or if there is one, I will envy that power and try to overcome it. But all are made to bow down to the Lord in his feature as death. Mrityu sarvaharas chaham. All are defeated by the modes of nature. All are limited by the influence of tamogun and rajogun and even sattvagun. Especially this tamogun, peculiar mode of nature. Krishna knows everything. He knows Vedaham Samatitani Vartamanani Charjana Bhavishyani Chabutani Mam Tu Veda Na Kaschana. He knows everything in the past. He knows everything in the present. He knows all things that are yet to come. But him? No one knows. That is his position. And our position in ignorance, unfortunately, is to say, oh, he's some great personality. He has lifted us up onto the back of this big bird carrier, Garuda, taken us some distance. But we want the nectar of immortality because our aspiration is to be God. Prabhupada says in that pastime, the churning of the milk ocean, he says that the Lord engaged the demigods in such a way that the demons would be defeated. And it was the logic of the snake and the mouse. Prabhupada says that once a snake and a mouse were trapped in a basket, and the snake could very easily devour the mouse, but the snake had a little intelligence and realized that without the help of the mouse, he wouldn't be able to get out. So he made a pact an agreement with the mouse. He said, you chew a hole in the side of this basket so that we can escape, and I will spare your life. Prabhupada goes on to explain that the mouse did just that, and then the snake ate him and then left the basket. So this is the logic of the snake and the mouse. This is the intelligence that was employed to bewilder the demons. The Lord had his plan. At that time, the demons had become ascendant. They had assumed great power and strength under the guidance of Bali Maharaj. And the demons, the demigods, were suffering because of this. And they went with Brahma and Shiva to the shore of the milk ocean and prayed to Chirodakachaya Vishnu, taking shelter of him. Not specifically asking him to save them, but we are your servants. And the Lord gave them a plan. And of course, as that story unfolds, the Lord ultimately appears as Mohini Murti, bewilders the demons, and they can't acquire that nectar. Instead, the demigods get it, because they're bewildered in the manner of the snake and the mouse. So, the magician. In 1st Canto Bhagavatam, chapter 15, the Pandavas retire timely. There's a description of the Lord relinquishing his body and bewildering the demons in this way, appearing to relinquish his body. And the purport reads this way. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is neither impersonal nor formless. He's neither impersonal nor formless. But his body is non-different from him. And therefore he is known as the embodiment of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. In the Brihat Vaishnav Tantra, it is clearly mentioned that anyone who considers the form of Lord Krishna to be made of material energy must be ostracized by all means. Ostracized means driven out. And if by chance the face of such an infidel is seen, one must cleanse himself by jumping in the river with his clothing. The Lord is described as Amrita, deathless, because he has no material body. Under the circumstances, the Lord's dying or quitting his body is like the jugglery of a magician. The magician shows his tricks. By his tricks, he shows that he is cut to pieces, burnt to ashes, made unconscious by hypnotic influences, but all are false shows only. Factually, the magician himself is neither burnt to ashes nor cut to pieces, nor is he dead or unconscious at any stage of his magical demonstration. Similarly, the Lord has his eternal forms of unlimited variety, of which the fish incarnation, Matsyavatar, as was exhibited within this universe, is also one. Because there are innumerable universes, somewhere or other, this fish incarnation must be manifesting his pastimes without cessation. In this verse, the word date, eternally accepted, and not the word ditva, accepted for the occasion. So it's eternally accepted, is used. The idea is that the Lord does not create the fish incarnation. He eternally has such a form. And the appearance and disappearance of such an incarnation serves particular purposes. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:24-7:25, the Lord says, now this is nice. Sometimes what Prabhupada does, which is really wonderful, remarkable in his purports, he'll paraphrase, he'll change the wording slightly of the translations that you're familiar with in Bhagavad Gita or Brahma Samhita and so forth, and he'll draw out a different angle of vision on that verse. It's very nice. This is how Prabhupada treats these two verses from 7th chapter Gita. The Lord says, the impersonalists think that I have accepted a form to serve a purpose, and now I'm manifested. But such speculators are factually without sharp intelligence. Though they may be good scholars in the Vedic literatures, they are practically ignorant of my inconceivable energies and my eternal forms of personality. The reason is that I reserve the power of not being exposed to the non-devotees by my mystic curtain. The less intelligent fools are therefore unaware of my eternal form, which is never to be vanquished and is unborn. So this is the Lord's position. This Matsya avatar, his pastime is going on in some universe at this moment. Just like Krishna's pastimes. It's described, the eternal roadshow. He's moving from one place to another. Somewhere, he's breaking the pot of Mother Yashoda, the butter pot. Somewhere, he's killing Chanura and Balaram, his brother, is killing Mushtika, and Kamsa is shivering in trepidation, getting ready to pull his sword. Somewhere else, all of these, he's dancing with the gopi. These are the Lord's eternal pastimes. They're going on, like the sun is moving. Right now, the sun is here. The sun moves across the sky. We do not say the sun is gone. The sun is dead. The sun is finished. The sun has moved to another sphere. It's moved to another side of the sphere of the globe. This is Krishna's position, always transcendental. And we can meditate in this way by taking to heart the verses of the residents of Jambudvip. Some of which, if we're so inclined, we can commit to memory. They're so beautiful. Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. Prahlad and his fellow residents praying. Beautiful prayer that all the residents of the Mathura world, that their hearts may be free from envy and they can take shelter of the Lord. And they're all wonderful, transcendental prayers. So, unlike the conditioned souls who have to appear in 8,400,000 species of life in various conditions of misery and ignorance, the Lord appears in his fish incarnation, in his boar incarnation, in his horse incarnation, and according to Srila Prabhupada, in every species of life, full of knowledge, full of bliss and eternal. And those activities are going on at this moment somewhere in creation. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Mataji. Can someone give Mataji the mic? You have to turn it on.
So Matsya in the lake was very big. So how did the king transport him from the lake to the ocean?
You must have been talking with my wife. Anyway, the king did it. Oh, it is not explained in Bhagavatam how the king managed this, but the king, he moved this fish. He's Rajarshi. Yeah, yes.
Hare Krishna. If the Lord's appearances are completely transcendental and spiritual, can we, through any meditation, any form, achieve our Swarup? Or do we run into the risk to go to a Matsya Loka, even though we want to go to Krishna?
Such a risk. One of us is ready to go. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur began his mission, at that time there was his Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there was this Siddha Pranali was going on, but in an authorized process. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not continue this procedure where one's Siddha Sarup is revealed by the spiritual master, at least in that way. In due course of time, one's spiritual identity will be revealed by Guru and Krishna. In due course of time, our endeavor is to please Guru and Krishna. That is our endeavor. And when Lord Chaitanya would discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, he would go to Gajendra Moksha, he would go to Dhruva Maharaj, and the Lord is appearing to Dhruva Maharaj. You know, Dhruva Maharaj is meditating. He's meditating on the Paramatma. He's meditating on the Lord, and the Lord appears before him. But Lord Chaitanya is taking this pastime and relishing it. He's not thinking, oh, this isn't, you know, Krishna with the gopis, and you know, this is kind of like Rasa Bas for me because I'm really in the mood of a gopi. It's not like that. All of the Lord's forms are transcendental and full of ecstasy. You don't have to worry that if you meditate on this wonderful pastime of Matsyavatar that somehow or other you'll be deprived of your eternal position in some other place. It's not like that. All of the Lord's forms are benedicting. They're all benedicting. You have an eternal spiritual form. That is a specific identity. It's not going to be swiped. It's not going to be swiped by an attraction to this or an attraction to that. Everything the Lord does is wonderful. Whether He's fighting, whether He's driving Krishna's chariot in the battle of Kurukshetra, whether He's engaged in the rasa dance, whether He's killing the cart demon or Bakasura, whether He's being visited by Narada Muni in the 16,000 different palaces where Narada sees Him engaged in 16,000 different ways with His 16,000 queens. It's all wonderful, relishable, and nectarian. And our position is to, we should be devouring all of this information. We should be like greedy for it. A chance to hear about Matsya Avatar? Oh, I can't wait. A chance to hear about Lord Varaha? He appears twice like Matsya? Oh, wonderful. What is he doing? And the amazing thing about it is you read the Varaha Lila, read the Varaha pastimes in Bhagavatam. Then you go back and say you're reading some other things. You'll go back a week later and you read them again or you hear about them. Something new will come. Because that's Varaha, Dave, and he's ever fresh. That's how wonderful the Lord's pastimes are. Devotees have this experience, don't you? You read Bhagavad Gita. Every time you sit and read, something new is coming. Oh, I didn't realize it. I read that. I've read this 50 times. This is something new for me. That's because it's Krishna. It's Krishna. Is that all right? Any other questions or comments? It's like the original flood story. Panchagoda Prabhu, our temple president, says this story is kind of related to Noah's Ark. It's an original flood story. They have Noah's Ark. He had to work so hard to build that ark. Oh, so hard. Matsya brings the boat for Satyavrata. Okay, come on, get on. Satyavrata, later he takes birth as Shraddhadev, the son of Vivisvan. So his next birth is Shraddhadev. And he becomes Vaivasvata Manu. And this is the same personality. Previously he was Satyavrata, king. Then he became Shraddhadev, son of Vivisvan, and then was appointed as Manu. And he's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita for a chapter. Imang Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivisvan Manave. That Manave, that Manu, that's this. Vaivasvata, who was Satyavrata. Manu Ikshvakave Bravit. And he instructs Ikshvaku. So yeah, original flood story. Yeah, herbs, seeds. It's also, although it's not described in such detail in 8th Canto, the various living entities, but it's mentioned, many living entities. So they all take shelter of the boat. They glide over the waters of inundation. Vasuki is the tow rope. And they've got an 8-million-mile-long tugboat who's speaking the Vedas. Anything else? Back here? Oh, he's got the mic.
When Prahlad was in his last life, he fought with his wife for one day. And he fought one day on Nrisimha Chaturdasi. But how did he fast on Nrisimha Chaturdasi when Nrisimhadev appeared in his next life?
Anyone know the answer to this question? I have heard this story that in his previous life, Prahlad Maharaj was this person who, via Agyata Sukriti, got this opportunity. I don't know the specifics of this pastime, though. Someone may know. Do you want to pass the mic? And then after Mataji should get the mic because she's been waiting patiently since forever.
As you mentioned in the class that the forms of the Lord are eternal. So the worship of the Lord is also eternal. And Prabhupada mentions it's like Amrish Maharaj is mentioned in Bhagavatam. He was worshipping Krishna in Satyuga. And Krishna has just appeared in Dwapar Yuga. So that logic we cannot apply that if a devotee is appearing before a particular form. Hare Krishna. A devotee is appearing before a particular, apparently appearing before a particular form of Krishna, then he cannot be worshipped. As Lord Chaitanya is by the Navyogendra. Hare. Worship of the Lord is it?
You can use this one. Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you, Prabhu. Questions. I just wanted to share with a prayer by creative energy. It says, "Oh my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you." I just wanted to share that prayer.
Thank you.
And in regards to the Matai, although it's funny, but Lord Krishna's pastimes is his Leela. He can easily empower any living entity to do whatever he wants. So it's not impossible for a king or any person to, you know, do anything. So it's all up to Krishna, what he wants.
Jai. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.